السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. Yesterday we were learning that every woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed her with that charm, with that beauty, with that voice, right? To be able to soften a man, to be able to captivate a man's heart, right? However, sometime a man's heart is really locked away, right? So in order to open that locked up heart, there are five keys. And these are the five keys that are now being presented to you. So the first key is sight. Among the most important factors that conquer a man's mind and heart are the things that he sees. Right? Once something appeals to the eyes, the heart readily takes a liking to it. Right? You see, this is one way of opening one lock of the heart, is through the eyes. Right? Because what you see with your eyes is going to go into the heart. On the contrary, once the eyes dislike what they see, the heart also confirms the dislike. Therefore, when a woman's appearance appeals to her husband, his love for her settles deep within his heart. She should therefore ensure that he never sees her in a condition that may repulse him, make him, you know, like get put off her. Together with her personal hygiene and beauty, a woman should also ensure that she maintains a high degree of cleanliness when tending to her children and home. In this manner, her husband's opinion of her will not be tainted. A survey conducted by psychological researchers has revealed that in the opinion of most men, a clean and tidy bedroom with flowers, with pictures of scenery, and with clean linen, all tastefully arranged, is extremely effective in creating a restful and peaceful environment. These factors create such an idyllic atmosphere, even though the bedroom is small. Now you see, in today's times, oh, we need a bigger house, or oh, this room is too small, or oh, we need new cupboards. It's not about all that. You see, try it out. Leave the room untidy, right? Don't make the bed. Pillows are thrown around, laundry is thrown on the floor, right? Cupboard doors are open, hairbrush is lying on the dressing table, one shoe is in this corner, one shoe in the other corner, some books are on the headside, the room is in a mess, right? When you enter that room, no matter how big the room may be, you enter that room, it's like a hurricane, right? Automatically, you don't feel at ease. You don't feel comfortable. The whole room is confused. It gives you a confused feeling, right? The very same room, the next day, have it cleaned out, right? Cleaned up nicely, neat, everything put away, cupboard doors closed, everything. Spray a little air freshener in the room or something, right? And then walk into that room. Now it's like a breath of fresh air. Now that room is beautiful. You want to be in that room. Automatically, you also feel nice. You know, amongst men, there is this feeling, because generally men drive, right? You know, when your car is dirty, somehow, even the drive doesn't feel nice, right? Now you take the car to the car wash, or you wash it yourself, wash the whole car, wax it, put some polish on the tires, vacuum the inside, put some air freshener inside and everything. Now you sit in that car, now even the drive feels better. You didn't do anything to the engine. You didn't send it to the mechanic for a service or a tune-up or anything. But even the drive now all of a sudden feels better. Nothing changed with the drive. This is psychological. The car is dirty, automatically it gives you a bad feeling. You don't want to be in the car. Car is clean, automatically you feel nice. So same like that. A man comes home and he sees his wife. She's fresh. She's clean. Surma in her eyes. Her hair is combed well. Her scarf is pinned on nicely. She's neat. She's tidy. The home is nice and clean and tidy. He feels nice. Comes home and she's all shabby, children are crying, nappies smelling, this, that. It upsets him. Right? So it's very, very important. It's not just about the size of our house or what which suburb we're living in or how smart my curtains are and how beautiful my duvet is. No. A simple home, but if it's kept neat and tidy, gives off a nice feeling. And you could have the most palatial home, but if it's untidy, gives off a bad feeling. Right? Another very important thing for you girls is that, see, sometime maybe you finished with your work, right? Now you decide, hey, you know what, I'm just going to take my recipe book and I'm just going to lie down on the bed and go flip through some recipes and see what to cook for tomorrow, right? Or maybe you got some good magazine, Muslim woman magazine or whatever, and you're sitting with it, some Islamic literature, and you say, all right, let me just lie down on the bed, take my feet off the ground, get off my feet, I was working the whole day, let me just rest a little bit, just now my husband will come, children will come, let me just give it a bit of a rest. So remember this, when you get off that bed, the bed is creased, don't leave it like that. Don't leave it like that. Right? Make sure you pull that duvet straight. Don't leave creases on a duvet. A duvet can be the most expensive duvet. Right? The most beautiful duvet. But if it's creased, it looks ugly. And you can have a simple sheet on your bed. But if it's not creased and it's straight, you know, it looks nice. Always remember this. Okay. Right. So that's the first thing, right? So irrespective of how insignificant something may seem, its importance is increased significantly when cleanliness and tidiness are added to it. So that is the first lock. Right? The husband comes home. He's a person who's very, you know, he's upset. Maybe he'll have an argument in the morning or whatever. Now his heart is locked. But when he comes home in the evening, and there's a beautiful scene in the house, you finish open one lock. Now we go to the next lock. The next lock is hearing. Ears, you see. A woman's sweet voice is sufficient to melt a man's heart. When a woman uses her naturally endowed voice to tug at the chords of her husband's heart, she will never complain about her husband beating her, about him neglecting her, about him not listening to her, etc. By addressing him sweetly, he will be ready to fulfill her every desire. Her voice will be a source of comfort and jubilation for him, even reviving his dead spirits. Now, you know, sometimes you must record yourself. You have to speak to a shop attendant, right? You answer the phone. Record yourself and see how you're speaking. How courteous you are. What a nice tone you have. Excuse me, can you please this, that? Huh? How nicely you speak. But at home, where all that goes away? Where it's supposed to be used, we don't use it. The same thing I tell you about the jewelry and all that. It's supposed to be used in the home to impress the husband, but it's never used there. It's used when we go on for the wedding, where the husband won't see you. Other people will see you. So that voice, that alerting tone, all that's supposed to be used in the house. But we don't use it there. But now when we go on to the shop and we need to find out something, then we put on that best tone. We need to go return something in the shop, then we put on that best tone. That's supposed to be in the house. Outside, we're supposed to talk firmly, especially if it's a male, non-mahram male who's attending to us, we have to talk with a gruff voice. by addressing him sweetly, right, this will win the husband's heart. A woman should therefore develop her understanding to be able to realize what to say on which occasion. She should know when to be silent and when to speak softly. She should also remember that when whatever enters the heart through the doors of the ears very seldom leave the heart. May Allah bless the poet who said, "The injuries of swords and spears can heal, but the injuries caused by the tongue cannot." Injuries caused by the tongue, this cannot heal. It is therefore imperative for a couple not to hurt each other by the things they say. You know, a lot of times, couples, they lose respect for one another. They insult one another. They call one another names. The husband will, disgrace his wife in front of people, say such things. Sometimes it's said like in a joking style, right? But what happens is the respect is lost. And when the respect is lost, then all is lost. So you must always maintain your husband's respect. Maintain his respect, he will maintain your respect, right? A husband should never hear statements like, "You never take us anywhere. Look at your house. We have nothing here. You should see the curtains and the furniture in the neighbor's home. You spend so much on others," referring to the parents and all that, "but your own wife and children are like living in poverty." By making statements like this, the wife will drive her husband further away from her instead of drawing him closer. After statements like this, she will not even have the curtains and furniture she desires, because he will have no love for her. However, once she wins his love, she will have whatever she desires and he will be happy to give it to her. He will ask her, "What do you desire? What you want?" So that he can fulfill her wishes. At the end of the day, the man has got his one wife, right? He wants to make her happy, provided he loves her. If he loves her, he'll give her anything. He'll give her anything. Within his means and ability, he will give her whatever he can. But if he doesn't have love for her, she can shout how much she wants to shout. She's not going to get anything from him. Right? So this was the second thing. That know how to speak. Let him hear good things. Let him hear good things. So the first lock is what he sees. Second lock is what he hears. Now you've got two locks open. Now we come to the third lock, and that is smell. Many people do not realize the powerful effect that smell has on a person. I mean, think about it. If smell was something that wasn't an important feature, would there be such an industry? I mean, you go to every country, right? You go to every pharmacy, every clicks, every big supermarket, aisles are dedicated just for perfumes. So there must be something behind it. There must be something behind it. Iter shops, perfumes, such a huge industry. Right? Philosophers have always maintained that the effect that the sense of smell has on personal relationships is profound indeed. They say that a woman's sweat glands produce an extremely subtle fragrance which can drive a man emotional. The more fragrant a woman is, the stronger attraction she has on men. Of course, Allah Ta'ala only knows the truth of this theory. This is not mentioned in Quran or Hadith. This is just the philosophers what they say, right? Now, because the sense of smell strongly influences a person, every woman should ensure that she always applies perfumes that her husband likes. However, she should take care not to apply perfumes that have a strong smell, right? Because now obviously she may have to leave the house, or maybe a stranger will come to the door, etc., right? Because women have a keener sense of smell and know which perfume should be used for which occasion, a wife should apply her husband's perfume to his body. She must choose which itar he must use. Are you going for namaz now? Okay, use this one. It's Eid day, right? Use that one. Right, she must choose which itar her husband must use. As was previously mentioned, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha applied perfume to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body. Many people think that staying away from woman is an act of ibadah and sacrifice. This notion is erroneous, because while performing i'tikaf in the masjid, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to allow Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha to wash and comb his mubarak hair. This hadith has been quoted earlier. Since Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example for mankind, his exemplary behavior teaches us that staying away from one's wife is not an act of piety. Some men, they feel like, you must show like you got no feelings of love and you don't really need a woman and all that. No, that's not piety. That is not piety. If it were, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been the first to do it. May Allah ta'ala grant every Muslim the guidance to practice every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Every wife should ensure that her husband never smells an unpleasant odor on her. She should therefore keep her body and mouth clean and smelling good at all times. Mustn't only put perfume when leaving the house, putting a roll on when leaving the house. No, you're going to bed. You're going to bed. That's the time that you are going to be the closest to your husband. Right? And nobody else is going to be there. So that before going to bed, you should first go to the bathroom, clean your mouth, floss, brush teeth, use miswak, whatever. Right? Then apply perfume to your body. Powder, perfume, whatever. And then you go to bed next to your husband. She should see to it that the toilet is never dirty and foul smelling. For this, the use of an air freshener is extremely useful. Never ever leave the toilet dirty. A woman should be more particular when it comes to this. She has used the toilet. Never leave it dirty. Ensure that it is clean. Always have the little window open. Air freshener. Finish using the toilet, spray the air freshener. Your husband may come in after you. In short, she should make sure that her husband does not smell anything unpleasant at home. In this way, their love will grow and shaitan will have much less opportunity to create animosity between the couple. In this regard, every wife should remember, right? Every wife should remember the words of Umama bint Harith, who said to her daughter, whenever your husband smells you, he should never smell anything besides a pleasant fragrance. Whenever your husband has to smell you, he must never ever smell anything besides a pleasant fragrance. Kohol, that means surma, is the best, easiest and least expensive form of beautification, while water is the best fragrance, because taking a bath regularly and making wudu often ensures that the body remains clean and does not give off an unpleasant odor. Right? Now sometimes if you're living in a place that's got a cold climate, sometimes you're tired, right? Maybe you can't, now you're going to go to sleep. Right? You had a long day. It's a cold night. Now maybe, it's difficult for you to go and have a shower at that time, wash your hair and all of that. But the least you can do, you've been working, you were by the stove, you were making rotis, you were carrying the child. So now you have been perspiring. Right? The least a person can do is, okay, before you go to bed, change your clothes. Don't wear the same clothes you were frying the papars and samosas and bhajjas, now the same oil-stained clothes, you come in to sleep with that thing. No. Go to the bathroom. Freshen up. Brush your hair. Use a face towel. Why those parts of the body where generally, you know, it gives off an odor, the underarms, etc., you perspiring, right? Wipe off, wipe, use a face towel, wipe all that, then use some roll-on, use some powder or something, get rid of all the bad smell, and then come to bed. Okay. The importance of oral hygiene. This is all now under the third lock, which is with regards to smell. Islam has placed great emphasis on hygiene. A Muslim should always bear in mind that the cleaner and purer she is, the closer she will be to Allah Ta'ala. The angels will then also remain in her constant attendance. On the other hand, when she is dirty and unclean, Shaitan and his companions keep in her company. If a woman performs salah while her mouth is dirty and foul smelling, the angels are revolted and stay far away. It is appalling for a person's mouth to be foul smelling. When the same mouth is used for Allah Ta'ala zikr and for the recitation of the Quran Sharif. The true measure of a person's cleanliness is not her fragrance or makeup. That is outside. Those are extras. A person will be said to be an icon of cleanliness when her mouth does not give off a foul smell, when her teeth are clean, when the unwanted hair on her body is removed, when her nose is clean, when her nails are short, when her hair is neatly combed, when her fingertips and soles of her feet are clean and sparkling. If a woman claims to be clean, it is by scrutinizing these aspects that she can be given the title. In addition to these determining factors, it will also be seen whether her kitchen, her refrigerator and her bathroom is clean. When a woman is particular about maintaining the cleanliness of all the above, she can truly say that she has love for cleanliness. A woman should also be doing herself a favor by asking another woman to tell her of her shortcomings in this regard so that she may correct herself. It will not be redundant to repeat that the woman who is particular about all the above can truly be called a clean woman. Perfume and makeup alone do not constitute cleanliness. This is the way of the kuffar. They wake up in the morning and just put some perfume, spray, tish, tish here, there, and just move it up into town. Strong, strong perfume. But they are dirty. They are dirty. Outwardly, it is looking clean. But below the surface, it's filth. Islam has emphasized the importance of oral hygiene. It is unfortunate that many women regularly eat sweets, chocolates or pan. Right now, okay, our ladies don't really have pan, but sweets, chocolates. And then sleep without first brushing their teeth. Let alone neglecting their own teeth, they also allow their children to sleep without brushing. It is indeed tragic that we have lost the teachings of our deen. In a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Urwa radiallahu ta'ala states that he would hear his aunt Ma'aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha brushing her teeth with the miswak while he was in another room. So much she would be brushing. A narration of Muslim Sharif also mentions that she could be heard using the miswak. Ma'aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up from his sleep during the day or during the night, he would brush his teeth with a miswak before making wudu. I'll tell you something. The worst smell is a stinking mouth. Now when we eat things before sleeping, and we don't brush our teeth, we don't floss, etc., then what happens is these little food particles, they get stuck between the teeth. And they go off there, because the mouth is closed, right? That thing is inside, the temperature goes very high in your mouth, right? Those things go bad, they go rotten inside there, and they give off a stink. So a lady must always floss, use miswak, use a toothbrush, use toothpaste. Let the mouth be giving off a fresh smell, right? Keep some breath freshener. You know your husband comes home at a certain time. Have one breath freshener. He comes to you, he comes close to you, and now you're breathing in his face, and the thing is giving off a terrible stench. Not good. Right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely particular about oral hygiene. When someone asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, what was the first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did whenever he entered the house? She replied that he first used the miswak. Every person should ponder whether she makes any effort to revive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did you ever encourage your husband, brothers or sons to use the miswak as soon as they enter the home? By encouraging others, you will be receiving their rewards as well as the reward of enjoining a righteous act. You should also ensure that you are as particular about brushing your teeth as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was. Right? Now they are going to give us a few more points with regards to oral hygiene. You can see how, with regards to the first two locks, the fourth lock and the fifth lock, not so many pages have been dedicated. But with regards to this third lock, how many pages are being dedicated to this third lock? Because this is a very, very important aspect which many people neglect. Right? The other day I was reading in the sunnats, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as he would wake up, before doing anything else, he would first use a miswak. Then he would read his du'as, etc. Then he goes to make wudu, again he is to use a miswak. So much emphasis on the usage of the miswak. Right? Oral hygiene, very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq. Grant the entire ummah tawfiq. We will stop here and inshallah we continue tomorrow. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.